Thanks, Dave, and thank you to everyone for joining us on Lilly Labor Day weekend, whether you're here in person or you're joining us online. I think it's always kind of been interesting to me how we attempt to honor work by taking a day off. You'd think we'd like work twice as much on the day that we're honoring work. But I'm just kind of curious today, how many of you find at least some measure of satisfaction in the work that you do? Anybody here some measure of satisfaction? If you do, you got to know that is a gift from God. Solomon, who is the wisest man who ever lived, when he got to his older years in life, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And he has a very interesting statement I want us to think about today. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it says, "This is what I have observed to be good. It's appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given to them, for this is their lot." Now, keeping that in mind, I want to ask another question today. How many of you have at least once ever participated in a tug-of-war match? Anybody here participated in a tug-of-war match? Yes, hopefully everybody has gotten the opportunity to do that. It's a fairly simple game. I didn't say easy, just a simple game. The team that's able to pull the rope closest to their side is the team that wins. And I think what gives tug-of-war its energy and excitement is the tension that is created and the suspense of seeing which side will achieve the advantage over the other side. So I say that today because what actually is, if there is a tension that you and I have to live with that can feel sometimes a lot like a tug-of-war? But the win with it is actually to keep it as close to the middle as possible. Today we're going to talk about a tension that we all face that's very real and that impacts every single one of us in this room. In fact, I'd actually identify it as an inescapable tension. Now, this tension is really nothing new. It's not brought on by the era that we live in. It's not original with this generation or this culture. In fact, it actually surfaces in the Old Testament, and we see it in the book of Psalms. And the Psalms are something that I would recommend reading every day if possible. My motto kind of is, a psalm a day can help keep discouragement, depression, and despair at bay, because it really kind of gives us a good perspective on life. But we're going to be in Psalm chapter 8 today, and we're going to look at all 9 verses, and we're going to discover this tension that we live within. Now, the chapter starts out and says, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens." And I'll tell you what, that is so true. God has truly set his glory in the heavens. You think about some of the scenes that we get to see, and I think we're particularly blessed by some amazing sunsets that we get to see against the backdrop of Pikes Peak. Can I get an amen? I mean, we see some amazing, amazing things. Here's one that's a little different color. Well, then he goes on in verse 2 and says, "Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." And then the writer all of a sudden gets a little introspective and says in verse 3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Reminds me of a chorus we used to sing. Well, what I'm hoping is that you noticed the psalm writer was expressing some of this inescapable tension that all human beings experience in their time here on this earth. Now, today I have some good news and some bad news. I hope you're happy to receive the good news first, because we're going to start with the aspect of that tension that is actually the good news. And that good news is your inherent significance. Your inherent significance. You are more significant than you may even realize. And the psalmist actually points this out by mentioning how God put mankind in charge of his amazing creation. He said, "You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild and the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea." See, there is a reason today why human beings have so much power and influence over this world. And so why are you so inherently significant? Well, to begin with, you need to remember that you are created in the image of God. Of all of the life forms that God made on this earth, and there's literally millions of them, there's only one created in his image. And we know that is mankind. He is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Now, please note, if you will, here that both men and women are created in the image of God. And that means that men aren't any more important than women, nor are women any more important than men. We're all important. But this is actually what differentiates us from the rest of God's creation. So, for example, being made in God's image is what allows us to be so incredibly creative. Because while the rest of the creation does have the ability to create, think about a bird making its own nest or bees making their own hives, it's only man that has the ability to create very complicated designs and invent complex machines and structures. Well, not only are you made in God's image, you are also uniquely designed by God himself. You personally, uniquely designed by him. You didn't show up on this earth because of some cookie cutter process. You are a one of a kind masterpiece. And the psalmist also addresses this in Psalm 139. He says of God, "God, you were the one who created my inmost being. You were the one who knit me together in my mother's womb." It's one of the reasons why God followers and Christ followers are so strong against abortion happening, because we recognize life begins at conception. That's when God starts his work. And really, this is what the theory of evolution robs you of, because it's a challenge to believe that you have any kind of significance or worth if you're only here by chance, by some big random bang, and your life truly doesn't matter or has no meaning. That's why I think I've shared with you before, but I think Max Licato hits the nail on the head when he says, "Hey, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, he's crazy about you." And part of the reason why he's crazy about you is because you are of greater value to God than all else that he created. Now, God, of course, values all of his creation, but it's clear that human beings are more valuable to him than anything else he has created. Now, the reason that we should treat his creation with respect is not because we're just another part of that creation, but because God has actually given us stewardship over it and responsibility for it. But you know, even Jesus spoke of the significance that human beings have over every other creation. He says that in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. And Jesus says there, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And yet not one of them is forgotten by God. You are so important to him that even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, obviously, he doesn't have to count as high for me anymore as he used to. But he says, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Sparrows are important to God. He knows when they fall, but you are much more valuable to him than they are. Well, finally, your significance is seen in that you were created with specifically unique work to be accomplished. Do you know that when you showed up on this earth, there was already a predetermined to-do list that had been prepared for you? And what that means is that there are specific things that you literally were designed by God to do that only you can do. You know the reason we know that? Is because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For we are God's handiwork." Goes back to that, how he put us all together. "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance before we ever got here for us to do." Now, of course, the problem with any to-do list is that it can kind of create the feeling of not getting done everything that we need to get done. That's why I kind of appreciate the statement that Bill Watterson came up with. He said, you know, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things, and right now I'm so far behind, I don't think I'll ever die. And sometimes that's how we might feel. But I would say, do not worry. God will provide you with all the time that you need to accomplish everything that he's planned for you to do. Now, what all this means is that everyone in this room, or if you're watching online, is incredibly important, has immeasurable worth and undeniable significance. Well, you know, if that's really true, why does it seem to be such a challenge sometimes to live with purpose and peace and positivity? Well, that's because while each of us is irreplaceable, I mean, what we just talked about, we are irreplaceable. Now, I used to believe that we were all replaceable because, you know, we are going to be replaced. But I've adjusted that belief because there truly is something unique about every single person in the world. You are irreplaceable, but we're also expendable. I mean, we're all expendable. And this is actually where the tension comes in. Because while you can revel in your inherent significance, you also have to balance it with your inevitable irrelevance. That's the bad news that we're going to share today. And the psalmist touches on that when he shares in verse 3. He says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you even care for them." Now, you got to remember that when this psalm was written, all that was available for people at that time to peer into the cosmos was their naked eye. And you know, the only thing that is visible to the naked eye is a few thousand of the nearest stars, around 5,000 or so to be exact. But you know, now, several thousand years later, we've developed the technology to see deep into space, and we've discovered that the Milky Way actually contains, are you sitting down? 100 billion stars like our sun on the low end, to 400 billion stars on the high end. We also know now that the Milky Way is just one of a plethora, and I mean a plethora, of galaxies in the universe. In fact, there are many scientists believe that there are actually more galaxies in the universe than there are people on this planet. At least billions, some believe trillions of galaxies. Now, if you weren't feeling a little bit irrelevant when you walked in today, I hope some of that is starting to sink in by now. But you know, in fact, I think probably most of us have experienced the feeling sometime or other that our life really isn't all that significant. Or it really, in the grand scheme of things, isn't going to make that much difference. And I told you this was the bad news. Because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that's actually very true. The average person, of which the majority of us are just going to be average people. You know, I've been reading through the Old Testament, and I just started in 1 Chronicles. Now, I enjoy a good action story, and so I got to share that 1 and 2 Kings was an easy read, because there's a lot happening in 1 and 2 Kings. But I got to tell you that honestly, the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles are part of the most challenging portions of Scripture to read. You know why? Because it's all a list of genealogies. Page after page of name after name of people I've never heard of, I know nothing about. And so I'm just curious, how many of you are like me and just skim over those parts of the Bible? You know, whenever I read the genealogies, I just try to remember that God always works through people. And although many of those people live lives of relative obscurity, they were still a part of the big picture as a whole. And so here's where I think really that sense of irrelevance in our life, where it comes from. And it starts with a life that is undeniably brief. And you know, the older you get, the more you become aware of how brief it is. You know, one of the most notable messages I ever preached, and I say that just because I got most of the unsolicited responses from that than I ever have, like, wow, that was really helpful. The title of that message was, 100 years from now, all new people. Just got people thinking. Now, I got to be honest, we live in a time where people are living longer, and of course, every now and then, someone's lifespan crosses the centenarian threshold. And I just got to show you, because you don't meet many people like this, that's a picture of Pinky Galbraith, and in that picture where I was with her, which was about 15 years ago, she is 107 years old. And for a long time, I told people that I thought she actually lived to be 110, but I did a little bit more investigation and was able to look up her obituary. She actually lived to be 111 years old. So things like that can happen. But you know, in 2019, someone born in the United States had a life expectancy of 79 years. Now, according to provisional data recently published by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in 2020, thanks to the pandemic, that life expectancy dropped to 77 years. And in 2021, it dropped again to 76.1 years. Now, amazingly, it falls right in between what God kind of says we could expect. You know, in Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, says our days may, not guaranteed, may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, and yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they what? Quickly pass and we fly away. Anybody ever heard the song, "I'll Fly Away"? Came right from that passage. Well, not only is our life on this earth incredibly short, but the second aspect of our inevitable irrelevance would be that we're being given a life that appears to be of little consequence. A life that appears to be of little consequence. I think there's a part of us that would like to believe that our life can truly make a difference, that it can be of some greater value, that we could leave our mark on this world. But you know, even the Bible seems to make the point that our time isn't likely to have that much meaningful impact. You know why I say that? James, the half-brother of Jesus, when he wrote his book, made this statement. He says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life?" Can I summarize it for you? You're like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Mists don't leave much of a mark. And I think, wow, thanks, James. You really didn't need to be that bluntly honest with us. But then a third aspect of our irrelevance that I just want to touch on is a life that actually lacks the ability to personally secure our own eternity. A life that lacks the ability to personally secure our own eternity. And the reason I say that is because we discover in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and every Christ follower needs to recognize this, it says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves." It doesn't come from you. It's the gift of God. And it's not by works, so that no one can boast. And I would just say, as amazing as grace is, if we were really honest, sometimes it can mess with us. And the way it messes with us is that it takes away any leverage that we might have with God. You know why? Because he owes us nothing. He owes us nothing. This is all a gift, even our salvation. And the reason we would like to maybe have an opportunity sometimes to secure our own salvation is so that we could have a little bit of leverage with him. We could say, "God, you owe me for all the good things that I've done. I deserve to be rewarded." We don't even deserve to be rewarded. Now, if you notice, the title for this message was Significance versus Irrelevance. Balancing one of life's most challenging tensions. And there is this tension. We live with the significance, but this irrelevance. And what we need to be aware of is the danger of imbalance in that. Since we all live with this tension, there is this tug of war. And I want to be honest, whenever we allow one side greater leverage or influence, one of two things happens. If we go too far to the side of significance, you know what we're going to develop? Arrogance. We're going to think more of ourselves than we should if we get pulled over to that direction. On the side of irrelevance, when we get pulled over there, we're going to see self-denigration. In other words, we begin to think less of ourselves than we should. And see, the problem with significance, when it gets out of hand, is that it can lead to pride. We actually become proud of all we are, or all we've done, or all we've accomplished. And the book of Proverbs is pretty clear. It says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. And folks, if you remember, that's exactly what happened to Satan. He was one of God's archangels, likely, and pride went to his head. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, we're given a glimpse of one of the conversations that he had with himself, and it went something like this. "I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will make myself like the Most High." And folks, that's why pride is so dangerous, because it can lead us to believe that we don't need God or don't need anyone else. But we got to recognize that our irrelevance can be equally as perilous because it can take us to self-denigration. And we see that expressed by the psalmist in Psalm 22, verse 6. The guy says, but I am a worm and not a man. And folks, here's the problem. Seeing yourself as worthless will definitely make your life worth less. And that's where Satan wants to take us, just as he'd like to take us to pride. And so just recognizing that there is this tension that we have to live with is extremely important and helpful, because then we can address it and adjust accordingly. In fact, I think that's exactly what the Apostle Paul had in mind based on what he wrote to some early Christ followers. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul writes and says, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now, he didn't say don't think of yourself highly, just don't think more highly than you ought. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Did you catch that? Think of yourself with sober judgment. That's the key. And see, sober judgment is maintaining the proper balance between the tension of significance and irrelevance. And when you pay attention to that, it will allow you to keep a healthy balance and avoid becoming big-headed or downhearted. That's the challenge, becoming big-headed or downhearted. Some of us are going to struggle with our significance getting the best of us. And of course, we won't want to admit that. That's what pride does. Others are going to struggle more with irrelevance, and it will be hard for them to acknowledge their significance. And if you're susceptible to arrogance and pride, that is exactly where Satan is going to try to pull you. And if you're more susceptible to self-denigration and feeling worthless, I guarantee you that's where Satan will try to pull you. And what I hope all of us are hearing today is that you are extremely significant. You are, but you're also ultimately irrelevant. And that's the tension that we have to live with. We have to pay attention to the tension. And so what do we do with this inescapable tension that we're destined to live with? Here's what I've decided to do. As much as I can on a daily basis, I remind myself of this. I need to graciously acknowledge my significance and my irrelevance, and then live in such a way that I try to leave the world a little better than I found it by loving God and loving people. See, whenever you feel significant in this life, it's because you are. Just don't take that too far. And whenever you feel irrelevant, it's because you are. Just don't take that too far. The only way your life will truly make any difference beyond this life is if you love God and love people. Those two commands are actually a summary of all that God will hold us accountable for with the lives that we've been given. And it's really not likely that any of us here are going to literally change the world in any significant way. But here's what I know. If each of us would just decide to try to leave the world a little better than we found it, and if everyone did that, I mean, the world would be a better place in the end. And so I just want to close with a statement I found from a guy by the name of Edward Hale. And here's what he said. He said, I am only one. Pretty irrelevant. But I'm still one. And I can't do everything, but still I can do something. And because I can't do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. So if you recognize, I feel this tension, I want to feel significant, but I feel irrelevant, living with that tension, balancing that makes all the difference. Next week, we're going to start a brand new series called Bless. And we're going to find out some ways where our lives can have an eternal impact and significance in the lives of other people. Now let's pray. Father, this tension that we live in it can be such a challenge. It's so clear that we are loved and cared for by you. I mean, you didn't spare your own son, but gave him up for us all. How will you not with him graciously give us all things? There is significance, but Father, there's also this irrelevance. We're one of billions of people that have lived on this earth and will live on this earth. And our life will come and go here, and few of us will be remembered very long. And so I pray that you'd give us the grace to be able to live in that tension and not get pulled to the side of arrogance or to the side of self-denigration, but just to be able to feel secure in your love and in your grace, knowing that in your eyes, we're important, but we're just part of the plan that you have for this world and for this universe. And I pray that when we live there, we'd be released from some of the anxiety and frustration we feel trying to make our way or impress other people, and just be able to be who you created us to be in Christ Jesus. I pray that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.